Apostle Paul, as he comes before King Agrippa, the governor, also Festus, and he's literally speaking for himself. He's been accused of many things, and we find at the very beginning, verse chapter number 26, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And that's exactly what Paul began to do, and basically he was telling everything about himself. He was telling what happened with his life with the Lord, how he was met on the road to Damascus, and how God looked down upon him, even as a persecutor, and saved his soul. And then we skip on down, if you would, for sake of time this morning, to verse number 24. And this is where we're going to pick up reading. And remember now, Paul has been given basically a testimony of his life. A testimony is witnessing the things that have occurred in your life. And all of us today, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you have a testimony that you've been saved, and you can relate to that and talk about it. But in verse number 24, the Bible said, and as he had thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not come in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then Agrippa said, and by the way, I believe these are the saddest words that are ever written in the Word of God. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Father, we thank you, Lord, today that we are Christians, those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray today that you'd help me as we examine this word and think about it. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts, give us the things we need. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. What we find in the passage of Scripture is three men. We find, of course, the man by the name of Festus, and literally, he does not like the Lord. In fact, I would say that he was probably one that hated the Lord. He was very antagonistic toward the gospel message. He accused Paul of being mad. Over the years, as a Christian, I've been accused many times of being crazy or a religious fanatic or dumb because of my zeal, perhaps. And I don't say that meaning that I have enough zeal. I don't believe we can ever have enough zeal. But people think sometimes we're crazy because we're trying to get people to get saved by the grace of God and go to heaven. That's the only job of our ministry today, is when the Lord comes back, I want people to know that they've been born again and saved by the grace of God, and they're on their way to heaven. But here's a man named Festus, and he's very antagonistic. Obviously, he did not love the Lord, but he talks about Paul, and he says, you're a madman. Isn't it amazing how if you're religious and you're serving God, you're a madman? But if you're powerful and have a lot of money and various things and you're living an entirely different life, then you're not mad. And I think today how many people in this world today hate the Lord. They hate the Word of God. They hate the things of God. And sometimes they even hate the people that preach and teach the Word of God. The second man we notice in our text today is Paul. Now, Paul was a man that honored his life. From the very get-go, we know that originally his name was Saul. He was a persecutor of the Christians, but on the road to Damascus, and he tells about that in the chapter. You can read that when you get home. But he got saved. He got born again and trusted Christ, and now he sees the need of telling others that they too may be saved. He said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and he said to die is gain. And so he said, I'm going to give my life to serving him. And then we come to Agrippa. We would say Agrippa was the one that was just kind of holding out on the Lord. People like Agrippa had come to the point of being on the verge of coming to Jesus. Coming for some reason, but they just can't seem to take the step to do what needs to be done. Friend, I want you to know today, close is not good enough. Close, somebody said one time, only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes. You can get close and maybe all right with that. But there's a bunch of people like King Agrippa today that they almost are persuaded to be a Christian. But the sad truth is they're going to die in their sin and spend eternity in hell. Now, whether you believe that or do not believe it, that's strictly up to you. But if you read the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, that you'll understand there's two places that we will spend eternity. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven. If you're lost, you'll die and go to hell. And the Bible is filled with people that almost became Christians or almost obtained something in their life but didn't quite accomplish it. If you remember the Israel at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they were almost in Canaan, but they didn't get there. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The concubine in Judges chapter 19, she was almost back in the house. The scribe in Mark 12, he was close to the kingdom. He was almost there. According to verse 28 today, we find here that King Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian. He was almost, but he was still lost. He was almost a believer, but he died an unbeliever. You can come close to coming to Jesus, but if you don't get there, it makes no difference how close you are. I hear people a lot of times talk about, well, I'm going to get to heaven. If I get there, I'm going to get there by the skin of my teeth. No, there's nobody getting there by the skin of the teeth. You're either getting there because you trusted Christ, or you're not going to get there because you almost trusted Christ. You must make that decision today in your life. And there's no greater person, there's no greater tragedy in the world for people to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God and know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the Bible teaches, and know the only way to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin. I want to preach to you this morning just for a few minutes on the subject of almost. Almost. I want you, if you would, you know, you can't be almost saved, but you got to come to the place where you're altogether saved. First of all, I want you to notice with me, almost and the truth. Notice the things that brought Agrippa to the place of almost. What is it? Why did Agrippa say that? Well, for sake of time this morning, I'd love to do it, but I would take too much time, and I don't want to do that. I want you to read this chapter when you get home, but you might understand what we find is the reason Agrippa was almost persuaded is because of the testimony of the Scripture. Can I remind you today, there's nobody ever gets saved apart from the Word of God. And in fact, there's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God has given us the Scripture. He's given us the Word of God. How do I know how to get saved? Because Jesus told me how to be saved. Jesus told me that His Father, God the Father, He loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In verse number 22, we notice the verse that said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day. This is Paul speaking. He said, I continue to this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none of the things than which the prophets and Moses did say which come. You know what Paul said? He said, everything I've said is the Word of God. I've been speaking to you about the truth that the prophets have spoken in the Old Testament. And now we find Agrippa has come to the place where he says to Paul, almost thou persuadest me. I would think that it would be encouraging for somebody to be almost, but if they don't go all the way and do what needs to be done to be saved, it's of no value, no matter how close you come. Friend, the decision must be made. The Bible is designed to reveal the glory of God and reveal the sinfulness of man. The Bible is like a lot of things. It's like a mirror. It lights on man's sin. When you look in the mirror, when you get up in the morning, you really find out what you look like. You go in, you look in the mirror, and, you know, sometimes it may scare you when you look and see yourself in the mirror. But I'm going to tell you, the mirror is going to reveal to you who you are. If you come and hear the truth of the Word of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God, it will reveal to you who you are. It'll be like looking in a mirror. It will shine a light upon the problems in your life and things that need to be made right with God. The Bible's referred to as sharper than a two-edged sword, even to the dividing of asunder of the soul and spirit. Friend, I want you to know today I hold in my hand a sword. It's not in a sheath, but I can tell you this word right here, if you'll listen to it, it'll cut to the heart. It'll help you to come to the realization and understanding that without Christ, we're lost and we need to be saved. The Bible refers to it in Jeremiah as a hammer. It crushes that old hardened heart. I tell you today, I believe that we've seen people that have been saved that were so hard. And I've had people tell me, oh, you'll never see them get saved. But I tell you, when the Word of God is preached, it's not the preacher and it's not what I do. It's what God's Word says that drives home and pierces even to the dividing of asunder. It's referred to as fire. The fire can cause the coldest heart to burn for God, according to Jeremiah 23. You see, the Bible is a tremendous and a powerful book. It was the Word of God that one night, and I was saved as a 10-year-old boy. I'm going to baptize Carson this morning. I'm so excited about that. And I'm grateful that he's following the Lord now. After being saved, he's following the Lord in believer's baptism. I remember as a 10-year-old boy that I trusted Christ. I heard the Word of God preached, and God brought me to the realization that I was going to die and go to hell, and I wanted to go to heaven. And I got saved. There was a time I got away from God, and I had to come back to Him. And you know what brought me back? It wasn't watching television. It wasn't listening to no friends. It was in the house of God, hearing the Word of God preached, that God got a hold of my heart and brought me to this place. Let me share some things I read, and I think these are interesting. I'm not sure I'm saying this right, but there was a man by Mitsui Fuchida. He was the commander-in-chief of the Japanese Air Forces that attacked Pearl Harbor. Listen to this. He was converted by a gospel tract that somehow accidentally got in his hand. He began to read that gospel tract, and it mentioned the New Testament. And so that intrigued him and interested him, so he went out and he bought a New Testament. And he began to read it, and just him reading the New Testament, he realized that he was lost and on his way to hell. That is the power of the Word of God. Friend, man can't do that, but God can do it. And he read that tract and he got saved. Listen to this one. Spurgeon used to preach in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And I tell you, one day he was in the tabernacle. It was a large auditorium and they did not have the sound systems we have today. He was there testing the acoustics. And he was using one verse that he kept saying over and over again in certain tones of voice. And it was, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." There was a man there, Spurgeon didn't know him, didn't know he was there. But there was a workman there that heard him repeat that verse over and over. He fell on his knees and gloriously trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Spurgeon might not have known he was there, but the Holy Spirit knew he was there. And God used his word to bring that man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Back in the old day, the preachers used to practice preaching. Have you ever heard a preacher talk about he preached to a stump? Sometimes, no, we won't go there. I'll leave that alone. But anyway, he would go out in the woods, and he'd find him a good old stump, and he would just rear back and preach. One day, he was out there, and I guess kind of a homeless man, or maybe a man, and he saw the preacher coming, and he hid. That's what a lot of people do when they see the preacher coming, they hide. And he was hiding from the preacher. And the preacher reared back, and he began to practice his sermon, and he was preaching with the power of God upon him. When it was all said and done, that man came out of hiding and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Word of God has the power to change your life and to bring you to the place of trust in Christ. Not only is the testimony of the Scripture, but there's testimony of other saints. Now, not only did Agrippa have the testimony of the Scriptures, but he had Paul's testimony. The whole chapter is devoted to Paul. There's something he's telling about what happened in his life, how God came. You see, today, I believe our room is filled with testimonies. If we had time, I could say, man, some of you stand up and tell me how you got saved. Boy, you could give some miraculous things, but it may be it was because another child of God lived in front of you, set an example before you, and you saw something different in their life. And you said, I want that. And you came to know Christ. You know, there may be people here today. And by the way, isn't it wonderful that God forgives? It doesn't matter what your past is. God forgives. You know, there may be somebody here today that at one time was a drunkard. I mean, you may have been an alcoholic. You may have been a dope addict. But I tell you, only God can take a soul and change his life and change his heart to be what he needs to be. In fact, you find in the Word of God in the book of Corinthians, when some of them people got saved, man, they came from wicked life. They had led promiscuous lives. And there's some people that may be here today saved by the grace of God and loving God. And they can remember a day they used to hate God. It's kind of like I told the folks one time. We had a bus minister in Bradenton, Florida when I was down there. And I'll just give this briefly because I've shared it before. But a man on our bus route, we picked his kids up, but he was the meanest man and the hardest man ever met in my life. And I tell you, one day I went by there and tried to get him to come to church, and he mocked me. And he told me he didn't need me, he didn't need anything we had, and whatever. Anyway, the next morning, Sunday morning, I got a call that their house had burnt to the ground. God got a hold of that man's heart, and I tell you, he got saved, and he couldn't do enough at the church house. Who did that? Well, it wasn't me. It was God and the power of God. And by the way, God sometimes uses some things to get your attention. And I believe it did in that day, but that man could not do enough of God. There's people perhaps here that used to mock, ridicule, tell all kind of funny, dirty jokes about church and about various things. But I tell you, they got saved. And the Bible said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I say to you today, if you're here, and I don't know who you are, and I don't know anything about you, but I know this. I know today if you're here and you're lost without Christ, there's something powerful, there's something persuasive about the Scriptures, and there's something powerful about the testimony of a child of God. If you remember in the Old Testament in Numbers 21, the Bible tells there was an occasion when poisonous snakes invaded the camp of Israel. They bit the people and many people died. And they told them to put up a brass serpent in the middle. And they said, tell them, if they'll look, they'll live. And I tell you today, I think any of them would have been foolish not to look. But when they looked, they lived. Listen to the testimonies of around you. Understand what they're trying to do. And then in verse 23, there's the testimony of the Savior. That Christ should suffer. And that should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. All right, we've got the Scriptures, we've got Paul's testimony, and now we've got Christ's testimony about what he done. Paul tells Agrippa that the things he's talking about, in fact, up in the Scripture we read, he said these things weren't done in a corner in verse 26, but this thing was not done in a corner. They were not hidden. Paul is telling Agrippa, you know who Jesus is. You know what Jesus did. Everybody ought to know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It makes no difference who you are, where you live, what your background is. Jesus died for the sins of the world. But the reminder almost brings Agrippa to Jesus, but it just didn't quite get it done. There's something powerful about the cross. Can you picture with me the crowd that was around him that jeered, made fun, parted his garments, cast lots for him, hanging on the tree, bruised and bleeding. And as I preached on Wednesday night, saying, now this is Jesus on the cross, dying and suffering. He says, Father, forgive them. But they know not what to do. And I want you to know today, God's still in the forgiving business. If you're willing to ask, he's willing to forgive. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does the cross move you at all? Friend, today I pray when I stand here that you won't see me. I want you to see Christ Jesus hanging on a cross. I want you to see him dying for you. And listen to me, eternity is going to be a whole lot longer than this short life we live down here. And we will spend eternity one place or the other. Does his cross fill your heart with love for him? Does his cross make you want to be saved? The second thing, and I've got to move quickly, is almost in the traps. Now, Agrippa had some persuasive arguments. His heart was stirred. He sincerely, I believe, he was sincere and believed his words, what Paul was saying, but he just couldn't cross the finish line. He said, almost. What is it, reckon, kept him from almost? It was probably the power of sin. For the Bible said in verse 23 that Christ should suffer, that he should be first, that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. We find here there's a woman mentioned in verse 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they sat with them. We find here that I believe Agrippa was living a sinful life. I believe he was doing some things, perhaps, that he knew were not good. And by the way, people say this to me. They said, well, you know, you have to give up all this stuff to be saved. Well, I'm telling you this, when you get saved, God will help you give up all that stuff. And it's a whole lot better without it than it is with it. And somebody said, well, when I get straightened out, I'll get saved. Well, I just hope you don't draw your last breath before you get it worked out. But I got news for you. You're not going to ever work it out. You're going to have to put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ and trust you. You see, Paul was saying he loves you so much, he'll accept you as who you are. Had somebody tell me a while back, we was talking about it. We was talking about salvation. We was talking about baptism. And they said to me, I just don't think I'm ready to be baptized. I think I got some things I need to get right. Friend, what you need to do is you need to come to Christ and let Christ help you get these things worked out. You see, there's a lot of people that stop at almost. They want to come to Jesus, but they think about what they got to give up. Can I tell you, I'm not proud of it, but I tell you as a teenager, I was rebellious. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of, and I wish I'd have never done. But I sure am glad one day I realized that God was willing to forgive me. And I came back to the foot of the cross, and I cried out, and God forgave me of my sin. And I tell you, for the last 40-something years, I've been doing the best I could. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think any of us ever do the best we could. We may strive to. I fail in many ways. But thank God tonight, this morning, he's forgiven me of my sin. A lot of people don't get saved because they like the sinful life. Well, preacher, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. Let me tell you, the best years of my life is since I got right with God. I tell you, the best years of my life is being with my church family. We had a wonderful time Thursday, and it's wonderful to be in the house of God. I tell them this, listen, I ain't got much immediate family left, but I sure got my church family. And I tell you, we're going to live together forever in heaven with one another. Quickly, the power of self. It wasn't the sin by itself that stopped Agrippa. I'm sure that was in the back of his mind. I don't want to give this up, so I'm not going to get saved. But the power of self. You see, the problem is pride, the sin of pride. He was concerned about his position. King Agrippa was king. You know, a Christian ought not be ashamed to be a Christian. You ought not be ashamed to bow and pray at the dinner table. You ought not be ashamed to take your Bible. You ought not be ashamed to tell somebody else how to get saved. That's what we ought to do. You say, but I don't know what they'll think. I don't care what they think. I care what Jesus thinks, and I want to please him. But I'm sure Agrippa said, man, I'm king. Boy, if I do that, they'll laugh me out of town. He was concerned about his pride. You see, the Roman governor Festus, the one that said Paul was mad, while he was there, what's he going to think? If Agrippa had accepted Jesus Christ, he'd have lost face before this man and everybody else. So Agrippa could not follow or allow Festus to see him confess his sin, his pride. It was the power of sin, but it was the power of self. He was worried about his position. He was worried about his pride. He was concerned about the price. Can you imagine? Here's Paul, chained. His body was scarred by persecution. He had suffered because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not too much of a drawing card for somebody to become a Christian, is it? Look at you, Paul. Boy, you didn't turn out so good. But Paul didn't care how he turned out because he was willing to give himself because Christ was willing to give himself for him. The Christian life's not easy. It's not always a bed of roses. God teaches us things along the way. And it's difficult and it's hard. But yet, it's the best thing I ever did in my life. And by the testimony of God today, I'm glad to know that I'm a child of God. I'm glad to know that I'm going to see my loved ones in heaven again. I'm glad to know that those who have been saved, we're going to live together forever. And those that aren't saved are going to be separated from God forever. You see, but the whole fact of it was, basically, the reason he didn't get saved is because he just didn't want to. Friend, you got to want to. He said in 1 John 5:12, and ye will not come to me, or excuse me, John 5:40, ye will not come to me that you might have life. He said, you won't come to me so that you can have life. You choose to rebel. Every decision we make is a three-part decision. It's a mental aspect, an emotional aspect, and the aspect of the will. I want you to understand, looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, if you know you need to be saved, you're one-third there. If you desire to be saved, you're two-thirds there. But unless you get fully saved, you'll never get there. Because that word almost means almost, but you didn't make it. Thirdly, almost in the tragedies. Now, Agrippa literally here refuses to accept Paul's invitation to trust Christ. Isn't it amazing that while they were trying him, he was witnessing to them? I think that's interesting. You see, verse 30 tells us that literally, well, look at it with me. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. You reckon why? I would think the conviction was so strong on Agrippa's life that he had to get out. That's the way God works. When God begins to work on people and they don't know if they're saved or not, they can't wait for the preacher to get through. They can't wait for the last amen. They want to get out of here as quick as they can. They're afraid they might take that step. Nothing to be afraid of. But when it was all done, they walked out. For a football team that almost won means they lost. For the archer who almost hit the bullseye means that he missed. For a runner that almost hit the tape means he came in second place. For a person who almost comes to Jesus, there's a high price to pay. And they'll share the tragedy of almost being saved. Friend, please listen to me today. This is serious business. The football team may need to get another game. The archer may get another chance. The runner may run another race. But one day, this may be your last chance. And to walk out of here today and say, almost, I almost got saved. I tell you, it's not going to be funny about a minute after you die. It's not going to be funny when you realize that what I'm telling you is the truth, because almost, almost, almost always leads to destruction. If Agrippa had come to faith in Christ, it would have changed his life. Christ changes people's lives all the time. There's a joy and peace that I've never experienced. I'm going to tell you, when I was not doing what I used to do, when I was doing what I used to do years ago, I was, most men, miserable. The greatest joys of my life has been serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what else? Almost no one goes to heaven alone, and no one goes to hell alone. You have an influence on family and friends and people around you. And I'm going to tell you, I'd be scared, I'd be afraid that I would influence somebody to the point they did not accept Christ, and they would end up in hell. How awful that would be. On the other hand, if we touch the life of a child, a spouse, a sister, a friend in the community, and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they got over the almost, and they said, I will, and they got saved by the grace of God. Almost always leads to destruction, but it always, always leads to damnation. Agrippa lived his life the way that he wanted to live it. Could I just tell you to think about this for a minute? Somebody said, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have me a good time, and I'm going to party, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to have me a good time. Go ahead. But that time is going to go by so fast, and it's going to be over. And when eternity starts, it's going to be a long, long, long time. The Lord will look at Agrippa. He'll get there, and you know what I believe Agrippa will say? He'll get there. He said, Lord, wait a minute now. He said, I believed everything. I believed the law, and I believed the prophets, and I even believe what Paul said about you, Lord. I came to the place where I almost accepted you. You know what Jesus will say? Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But Agrippa won't be by himself. There's going to be a multitude of people that almost. Somebody said, well, that gives me courage because I know there'll be other people there. Well, if there are, there will be other people there in hell, but you won't know it. The Bible says, place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, crying and screaming and hollering all the time. You won't be fellowshipping or having anything to do with the people there. Some of the people that almost, think about Judas Iscariot. 3 years with Jesus, he kissed the door of heaven, but he died and went to hell. The Jewish religious leaders, they knew the truth about Jesus, but they crucified him anyway. The rich young ruler, he was almost there, but he just wouldn't believe. Malchus, you remember Malchus? He's the one that came to take Jesus and Peter cut his ear off. And Jesus picked up his ear and put it back on and healed him. He was almost, but not enough. The lost thief hanging on the cross, remember there were two, one on either side. One said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. But the other mocked and made fun. He said, if you be Jesus, get us down from here. And I could see him as he laughed. He heard the truth, so he was almost. But he died and went to hell. Felix, he heard the gospel. But you know what? He wanted to wait till a more convenient time. Can I tell you today, there'll never be a more convenient time than today. Today is the day of salvation. Festus, he heard the gospel and he called Paul a madman. Festus, he didn't say it, but he probably was almost. But he didn't love the Lord and he didn't like Paul. Bernice, their friend, she heard the gospel and she got up and just walked away. The question today for the rest of you, there's a lot of people that almost got saved. But what about you? Did you almost get saved or did you really get saved? I close with this. William Height, a 62-year-old man, was found in the Mojave Desert. When they found him, his face was buried in the sand. His hands were buried in the sand. He was seeking moisture. His car had broke down. He had crawled on his hands and knees he had walked for 22 miles, and the last 2 miles, he crawled on his hands and knees. And they found him with his head buried in the sand and his hands buried in the sand. But sadly, just over the hill, less than a half a mile away, there was some cool, blue, crystal water that could have saved his life. But it wasn't good enough because he only got almost there. Friend, do you know Jesus as your Savior this morning? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I'm telling you today, this is not a fairy tale. This is not something I'm making up. Listen, thank God people come to Jesus Christ and understand that they're lost and they need to be saved. Friend, today, you say, what do I have to do? Just come, let somebody take the Bible. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you know today that you'll spend eternity in heaven? Agrippa said, almost, but almost not good enough.